Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
And they may go, oh, dude, we have too much here on offense. This carryover thing didn't make that much sense in the first place. He was maybe more tenuous than we thought. Let's have an offensive mind take over interim style and really make something try to last year for Caleb Williams.
I'm going to say Saleh. Let's say hypothetically they open with the 49ers. Good chance they lose.
You lose that game.
Then they play 3 winnable games against the Titans, Patriots, and Broncos. You absolutely have to go 2-1 in those games. If they're 2-2 through 4, that's about as bad as you're allowed to be, I'd say.
Yep.
Then you play the Vikings on the road. You got to win that. But let's say they don't, they're 2-3, and then you get worked by the Bills and you're 2-4, something like that. I mean, if they're not better than 3-3 through 6, as the schedule really gets more difficult, that becomes a big problem. Saleh,
because it could get away from you in a hurry in that division.
Not his fault that Aaron Rodgers got hurt last year, but because of that, you're in a bad way if you don't start really fast.
Yeah, I think he's actually, I know it's unpopular to say, he's done a pretty good job without a quarterback there. They've been competitive, tough, in a lot of games with one of the worst QB situations in the sport. So now that you finally got it, last year we thought we finally got it. It lasted, what, 2 plays? But if you do have good quarterback play, if you don't meet expectations, now maybe there's a reevaluation.
All right, let's get to it. The Grant and Danny's, Tony's mailbag.
Here comes Grant and Danny's, Tony's mailbag. Here comes Grant and Danny's, Tony's mailbag.
Thank you, Darius.
Good job, Darius.
First question is from David on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. If you want to send a question, 800-636-1067, you want to call us with a question. David says, I live for D.C. sports, but I've moved to the Boston area. My house is 10 minutes away from the Worcester Woosox Park. I am allowed to be a fan of this team. Yes, he wants to know, is he allowed to be a fan of the local minor league baseball team, or is that violating some type of sports rule?
I think that's perfectly allowed. Because the point to me of having conflicting fandom is, like, for example, take our very own Ryan Clary, who's just a dear, sweet little boy. He loves the New York Yankees so much. They sometimes will play the Nationals. That's a conflict. The Nationals are not playing the Woo Sox. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is where you live. You got a family. You can take your kids to the game eventually as you guys grow. I think that's a pretty reasonable thing. That's kind of like that hometown feel where it's not in conflict. Now you start going to Red Sox games and telling me about Jaron Duran and how excited you are about Colton Wong and different things. Connor Wong, rather. I conflated my Wongs. That's a different issue, but go to the minor league game for, you know, eat a $1.50 hot dog, by all means.
So I actually think this is the play if you relocate. The localized, to your point, like this is our neighborhood team. If you live in the Richmond area, become a Flying Squirrels fan. Get season tickets. No harm, no foul. You don't have to like the San Francisco Giants. You can still claim the team that you always liked just because they're the AA affiliate of the Giants. Mm-hmm. You root for the players, and when they get to the big leagues, you can root for them too. But you don't have to be a fan of the team. I actually think it's the perfect play. It's 10 minutes from your house. It gives you the ability to kind of relate to the locals, wear some gear where everyone thinks you're one of them, but you still keep your DC teams. Also, a lot of people, when they relocate, do change their affiliations, their affinities for teams. But I think it's easier now than ever before with all the packages and the apps and the ability to stream games and everything that you can do. If you really want to stick with the team, you can. It gets harder when there's a team right next to you. Like, I grew up a diehard Baltimore Orioles fan. Working in DC sports and being on the air and directly affected by the Nats' well-being makes my situation a little different. But what really eventually happened for me is I was going to 20 Nats games for every 1 or 2 Orioles games. Because it's so hard to go up 295 in traffic to get to Camden Yards, which is one of the great ballparks in America. And I literally work two blocks from the center field gate. So I'm like, am I going to drive up there, get there by the second inning, you know, get home at 1:30 in the morning? Or am I just going to walk, waddle down Half Street, stop and get some peanuts two blocks up, and then get in the center field gate and watch some baseball? But I think if you move like states over,
yep,
you could just, you get the league pass. You get whatever you need to watch your team. It's a good question, though.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Here comes Grant and Danny's Tony's mailbag.
Tweet came in at Funny Danny. I'm a huge Terry McLaurin fan, so please don't block me from calling in or tweeting the show. I would never do that. This is a good question. That's why we're here. At work, the question was asked, would you trade Scary Terry for Brandon Ayuk?
Straight up. I'm going to be annoying. Contracts are equal, or Ayuk at his contract, McLaurin at his?
No qualifier here. I think probably as is.
You go first.
No, because that defeats the purpose to me. The point of me wanting to acquire Brandon Ayuk is to add him to Scary Terry. I need a better receiver room. The thing I've been beating the drum for, if it's not Ayuk, make it T. Higgins. If it's not Higgins, go back in time and go get Keenan Allen. I want an upgrade in that room. I don't want the 26th best skill position group, according to CBS Sports or Pro Football Focus or ESPN or the people that do this for a living. I want a top 10, 12, 13 group for my rookie quarterback. So I would not make myself worse to make myself then maybe slightly better if you prefer Ayuk over McLaurin. But to me, the whole point is to make that room better, and that wouldn't really do that enough for me.
I'm going to say no, only because I don't know what kind of guy Ayuk is. I've never been around him. I just see him agitating and being a lot to deal with right now, which is the antithesis of my sweet Terry. And I actually care about that. Like, I'm a proponent of, I don't need 53 choir boys. I mean, I'm okay having some, I don't need cats, I need dogs, or whatever that coach said in his press conference back in the day for East Carolina. If you're, you know, a little bit of a squeaky wheel, that's fine from time to time. But Terry's excellent and does everything the right way. I'm not in the business of trading those types of players, even though I think Ayuk is probably slightly better. I'm not going to go with, like, what's behind this door as a personality when I know this guy is everything that I want. Like, when I'm watching the receiver show on Netflix, Dan Campbell's showing Lions players the final two plays of a game where the Lions were getting blown out by 30 against the Ravens, and Amon-Ra St. Brown is blowing people up on runs, just blocking the heck out of them. And he's like, this is our DNA. This is why he'll be here for life. This is what we are. And I think you can do the same thing with Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And that does matter.
Here comes Grant and Danny's Tony's mailbag.
Nobody's better at coming up with these questions than my guy Resch on Twitter. He said he had two of them here. We'll go rapid fire. First one's really easy. Which Commander's Hard Knocks would you most want to see? Off-season, training camp, or in-season?
Off-season.
I agree. Off-season Hard Knocks is the best Hard Knocks already. Now, part of that is the access we got to the Giants. But to see their decisions, if we're getting what we got on the Giants and it doesn't change, and we see basically all their rankings of all the free agents, who they wanted and got, who they wanted and didn't get, what they evaluated each person to be worth that they paid.
That's a drug to me.
I mean, there's not enough money in my bank account that I wouldn't hand over right now for all of that. It is. I'd like it in real time more than months later,
yeah.
Clearly. But yes, Hard Knocks off season, no doubt. He then says you get a one-on-one sit-down interview with any fictional character from a sports movie or TV show. Who are you interviewing?
Oh my God! Okay. Do you have an answer?
I've got a couple. I'm kicking around.
Go nominate them. Go, because my brain's working.
Yeah, I would say Rudy would be one that comes to mind.
Okay.
Nice sit-down of Rudy. How about? Who did Gene Hackman play, the coach in Hoosiers? Head coach?
No, oh, for God's sakes.
Doesn't matter.
I just remember him as coach.
And then, I guess lastly, I'll go with it's got to be fictional, because I was thinking somebody from Miracle, but that was obviously based on a true story. I'll go with Little big league manager Billy Haywood. He was like a 13-year-old manager of the Minnesota Twins. I get sized for little Billy Haywood.
Top of my head, Eric Taylor, Friday Night Lights, who would be fun to have a sit-down with.
That'd be great.
That's a great one. This is so hard. Quarterback from the longest yard. That'd be an interesting story to tell. You know what I mean? Where it's like you got to either play hard or you do worst time in jail. I'd love to find out about your story. Paul Cruz comes to mind. There are a few good options. That's a hard one.
That is a hard one.
Here comes Grant and Danny's Tony's mailbag.
From our former colleague, Alan, used to work down the hall, moved on to bigger and better things. Who is the best athlete in D.C. pro sports history to wear the number 11? Illustrious number here in D.C. There are three nominees, and maybe there's another one that I haven't thought of, but he put three here in a little survey. Your three nominees, Ryan Zimmerman, player number 11, Elvin Hayes, or Hall of Famer Mike Gartner. Best number 11 in D.C. sports history.
Hayes or Gartner, Hall of Famers. I don't think you'd go wrong. Probably Hayes, top of my head.
Yeah, my answer is Elvin Hayes, averaged 21-12 here in Washington. In a time where that's not a thing, where people are scoring 90 points a game, he averaged 21-12 and was an all-pro caliber dude. Gartner scored just over half his goals here in Washington.
That is your Grant and Danny's, Tony's, mailbag. We do it every Friday at 6 o'clock. It's time for your Nats starting lineup and pitching matchups. Presented by the Window Man since 1989, the Window Man has been the educational window company. Get your free no-pressure, no-mess estimate at thewindowman.com or at their Fairfax showroom.
Fine, Patrick Corbin, leading off playing shortstop. Abrams batting second. In right field, Lane Thomas. Batting third, your DH, Jesse Winker. Batting fourth at first base, Juan Yepez. Batting fifth in left field, the James Wood. Batting sixth at second base, Luis Garcia. Seventh doing the catching, Kaber Ruiz. Eighth playing third base, Trey Lipscomb. And in center field, batting ninth, your guy, my guy, our guy, Jacob Young.
The Window Man. Love that feature. You got your Nats lineup. Now you can settle in, put the feet up, and check out some baseball tonight. The boys are going live in 30 minutes right here on 106.7 The Fan. Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.